As I said, I did talk to to Pete. I kind of give him a abbreviation of what we discussed. And for the next hour, we talked about this one subject. Not just this one, but all of them. I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17. I want to read something to you. As I was praying today, getting ready for this, because I had it mentioned to me, well, we're not under the law anymore, that we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. We don't have to follow, that is in the Old Testament, we live in the New Testament. If that's the case, listen to what Jesus has to say. This is Jesus in 7, it's going 17 through 19. It says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses." Y'all hear that? "Or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." This is a warning. It's not for you to second guess and go, "Well, you know, I think I can figure my way around this one." Mm-mm. It's Matthew 5:17-19. Okay, one of the big things that he and I discussed was, what, when we're talking about the Sabbath, he says this is the big misconception with the Sabbath. Everybody thinks it's Sunday. Everybody thinks it's Saturday if you're Jewish. So, if that is your thought process, nowhere in the Bible does it say Saturday, does it say Sunday. So, if you use that as your basis for this type of thinking, that's where you're going to have trouble. He said, because, and I had a little lady sit right here, and she said, "Well, you work on Sunday, you preach." Anybody remember my statement? I said I was serving. Well, when I was talking to Pete, he says, in a way, you are working, in a way. You can look at it that way. I said, "Well, Pete, answer this question for me. If that's the case, and that would be a sin for me to do on the day I call the Sabbath," I said, "Jesus taught in the temple on the Sabbath." And I said, "And we both know that Jesus does not sin." He goes, "You found that, did you?" I said, "Yes, I did." I said, I've been working on this. I said, "Man," I said, "this challenged me to the core, because I thought, I have to figure this out. I've got, this is so important not to miss, that we really need to think about it." And he says, "That's true. It's the way you look at things. And it's a decision that is made between you and the Lord." He said, "I like to, on the Sabbath, I like to ride my horse." I said, "Who saddles it for you?" He says, "I do." I said, "Is that not work?" He said, "It is the most pleasurable thing that I do. I relax so much, and I just really spend a lot of time, my prayer time and everything." He says, "What I do is I get the horse and I catch him the day before, and I bring him into the stall. And I bring him in there, and I clean his hooves out, and I brush him, and I get him all cleaned up. I check all my tack the day before, and then that morning, I get up on the Sabbath, and I go out there, and I throw the saddle on him, and I go. I open up the gate, and I go ride. And he said, to me, I'm not sinning. He said, because I'm communing with the Lord. He said, if you want to get legalistic about it, he says, you can. He said, but anything that you do that is productive, listen to these three words. If you're producing something, or you're being productive, or you're making something, those are the three catchers. I had someone tell me, well, they just, without thinking, they just got on their lawnmower and they were just singing and praising the Lord and they were just mowing along and having a good old time. Then they realized, oh my goodness, it's the Sabbath. That person was worshiping while they were doing it. They did not, and they were concerned about whether it was sinful or not sinful. What makes me smile, and I think what makes God smile, is the fact that you're thinking about it. That you're trying to analyze it. You're trying to figure it out. It's not rocket science, though. We're not trying to solve the world's problems with this one thing. It's just this one deal. He said, this is a day of being separate. It's different than the other 6 days. Now, how do you rest? I don't know. Are you a slug in front of a TV for the time? I don't know. Do you go outside and walk around? Do you take walks? Do you ride your bicycle? Do you ride your horse? If this is work to you, what? And I said, I've always felt like it was okay for me to go fishing on Sunday. I said, because I go into this zone. It's kind of like when I get on my horse and I'm riding. I said, everything just kind of disappears. And I just start praising and singing. Well, I'll tell you, I sing some of the stupidest songs. They don't even make any sense. But to me, I'm praising and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm making, if anybody was listening to me, they'd say, this guy's crazy. Look at that nut. He's out there singing, you know, and it's not making any sense what he's singing. But to me, I'm singing from my heart. I'm worshiping, okay? But for me, he said, if I was to go fishing, it would be work. I said, explain yourself. He said, I kind of like to do it. He said, but every time I do, he said, something breaks, or I get my lure hung in a tree, or something. He said, and I just start getting this feeling down deep inside, like, what am I doing here? You know, this is not right. I'm supposed to be resting. I'm supposed to be worshiping. This is not worshipful to me. And he said, but the three keys is, are you being productive? Are you producing anything? Are you making anything? He said, and that is what helps you decide what you can and cannot do. He said, I told him about it. And he says, it says in the Bible you're supposed to take care of your animals, by cracky, and you're telling me I can't. He said, no, I'm not, Dad. I'm not telling you that. He said, but think about it a minute. He said, you know, Saturday, that you're going to have to feed your cows tomorrow, don't you? Yeah. He said, you know you're going to have to put a bale of hay in there, right? Yeah. You know you're going to dump a couple of sacks of feed out there, some cubes for them, right? Well, yeah, son, you know my routine, what I do. He said, then why can't you just close out a little trap? Go ahead, stick the hay in there. Go ahead and put the feed out there. And then all you got to do is open the gate. next day. He goes, whoa. Well, that would work. He said, then you can do something else. You can actually worship and get some rest. He said, because the thing about the rest part is that we're trying to get a rhythm into a rhythm with our life to where we work, we rest. We work 6 days, we rest. Because it is perfect, because that's the way God set it up. That's what makes it perfect. He said, why so many people have trouble with anxiety and health issues and different things that goes on in their body, it's because they're not getting enough rest. He said, there's not a doctor in this world that will tell you that you should not rest one day out of the week. Not one. He'll say it's for your physical body and for your mental health. That's the reason God said, work six, rest one. That's up to you when the Sabbath is. His is like Tuesday or Thursday. He said, Sunday is just too, it's just too hard for me. He says, there's too many demands on me for me to worship. And he said, and a lot of people read their Bible on their Sabbath day. He says, I cannot read my Bible. I said, why? He said, I immediately start thinking, I can make a sermon out of this. Oh, the Lord's speaking to me. I need to work. And he said, and I start working. I start planning. And I start doing. I'm starting to be productive. And he said, I have to go, whoa, I got to stop, you know. And he goes back just to worshiping and resting, doing what's restful to him. What is restful to you? Only you know. What calms your spirit? What gives you that release that you look for all week long for 6 days? What is it that brings you joy and peace, peace of mind, restful? It's restful to you. The saying that preacher told me, if you can justify it with God, then I'm all right with it. You've got to be able to allow God to speak to you about that one thing that you love to do on your supposed to be your day of rest. If you're resting and you earnestly pray about it, guess what? He's going to let you know. The Holy Spirit promised He will let you know. He will speak to you and let you know. I had this peace about it when I started thinking about riding a horse. I said, I can do that. Going fishing, I can do that, because it's not work to me. But to others, it may be. It's up to you to get a rhythm in your life. It helps you to focus on one thing. What do you think it is? God. I want you to focus on me today. I want you to talk to me today. I want you to hear from me today. And I want you to get some rest. That's what the Sabbath is. It's not Sunday. It's not Saturday. It's whatever day you pick is the Sabbath. Yeah. And they pay you. But you don't. Are you worshiping? If you're able to worship, if it's not a labor while you're playing, there's some times when I'm playing the guitar that it becomes labor. It becomes I'm producing something because my hand really gets to hurting because of my carpal tunnel. It starts throbbing and I'm feeling it and I'm going in it, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about that and I'm not thinking about this. I'm not thinking about God. It's all in how you and God set it up. It's the easiest way for me to say it. what can be restful to you may be the most ridiculous. I can look at that and go, how in the world? That drive me crazy, you know. But someone else says, well, that's how I rest. That's how I unwind. That's how I do that. But are you producing something? Are you making something? Or are you being productive? That's the criteria that always snags the rabbit. That's the one that catches. That's the one that you have to think about when you're doing it. And I'm stepping way out on a limb when I say this. When you do pick a day, I'm not so sure that you can't, and I don't quote me, I better not even say it, because I just feel like, I'm going to say that I'm taking off the record, I'm turning off. Want to say that out loud because on the tape, guess they are recording. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. It's between you and the Lord only. I am not your judge. She is not your judge. You are not hers. We answer to only one person, God Almighty Himself. And He will let you know through the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, that He sent when you became a believer. Now, if you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know what you are talking about. What is this Holy Spirit? Never had this. I don't know what you mean. I've never had anything tell me that I'm doing wrong or to advise me or to try to change my thinking. Well, that is a good tip to me to say maybe you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that's the first thing He does is send the Holy Spirit down. And it changes you from the inside out. Changes the way you start looking at things. Changes the way that you act. Things that you did before, you start questioning it and going, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. Where is that coming from? I've always loved to do that. Where is that coming from? Who is that telling me that? You know, it comes from inside you, and you're going, well, what in the world? It's all been great all the way up to this time. Now something has changed the way I'm thinking about stuff. Guess what? Holy Spirit. Any questions about that one particular one about keeping the Sabbath holy? Any comments? Anything anybody wants to say? Okay. All right, here we go. We did honor your father and mother, and we did talk about this briefly. And have you been learning them? Have you been learning the Ten Commandments by... As we're going along, we're going slow enough that you ought to be able to not just memorize them, but learn them. You should be able to do that. I mean, if you look in the bulletin, it's got them all written out to you. I cut one out just so I could show it to you. And it's real little. There it is right there, y'all. It's all typed out. In our cowboy translation, you might want to call it. Don't place anything before God. Don't worship any idol. Don't misuse the Lord's name. Keep the Sabbath holy through rest and worship. Honor your parents. So on and so on and so on. It's real little. You can stick it in your pocket. You can stick it in your billfold. You can tape it up something at work. Don't tape it to your dash of your car. That's never a good thing, because you're supposed to be, what, looking at the road. Anyway, but we talked about our parents, and it's, what if your parents doesn't deserve your honor? What did we say? They're still your parent. Well, what if they did something that was against the law? You don't have to condone what they're doing at all. It doesn't mean that we're forbidden from telling the proper authorities that they're breaking the law. If our parents are doing that, it simply means we don't run our parents down. What does that mean? When you hear someone use that term, don't run somebody down, what does that mean to you? Badmouth them. Be negative. Talk trash about them. Good for nothing. Sorry. Worthless. That's running down. And we should not intentionally hurt them, even if they hurt us. Now, how can we hurt them? That thing right there, that tongue, that is a weapon. We can use that little rascal. That little sucker right there can do more damage, can hurt more people than if you just hauled off and smacked them upside the head. Just that little thing right there, your tongue, by saying that they are worthless, that they are no good. That's when you start saying those things to them, you're intentionally trying to hurt them. Even if it's the truth, we're not supposed to do it. Why? You're not honoring your parents if you do. If it's important enough for God to write it down with His own hand, how important do you think it is that we honor our parents? Man, that's big. It's not a little thing. I mean, he put some thought into it, because when we do that, we are sinning. Is this one a hard one, do you think, for most of us? It can be. It depends on what you've been through. What shoes that you had to walk in that I did or I did not. Is it a hard commandment to break? No, it ain't hard. Because if you think it, guess what? If you think in your mind the same, that's what Jesus said. If you hate someone, you murdered them. It's the same thing. So if you're bad-mouthing in your head, if you're thinking, that sorry dog, or that mean heifer, you know, and you're thinking these things in your mind, guess what? You're dishonoring your parents here. Whether it comes out there or not, you're still doing it. Because why? The Holy Spirit knows what you're saying. He knows what you're thinking. Not just when you move your mouth and words come out. The sixth commandment. Huh? Uh-huh. The first four is our relationship to God, how we relate to God and God relates to us. This is what you would call the moral things of life that we should see in our country. You know, like, don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, you know. Everything is there. Anytime one is not worse than the other. If you sin, you sin. If you lie, it's a sin. If you murder, it's a sin. Now, society here, if you lie, they go, you are a bad boy. Don't do that again. You know, and you might lose your job. Or you could, but usually they just think bad of you. But if you shoot someone and kill them or stab them and kill them, our society thinks, oh my gosh, he's a murderer. They put the weight on the sin, and they have a scale as to how bad it is. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin to God. That answer your question? Okay. You shall not murder. This commandment has been interpreted wrongly for generations. The Hebrew language has seven words that can mean murder. The word used here is resha. Of the seven words, this is the one word that signifies murder, where premeditation and intentionally are present. In other words, this is not a prohibition against killing. Now, did y'all hear that? This does not mean that you cannot kill. Well, that ought to raise some eyebrows. If it wasn't, then how come God would allow the Israelites to go to war and to kill who he told them to kill? Was that murder? Mm-mm. Not in God's eyes. Premeditation and intentionally doing something. In other words, it's a command. It says here that it's not prohibiting you from killing. It's a command not to take another's life intentionally or without cause. Some have falsely tried to use this verse as prohibiting against war, capital punishment, and even eating meat because you have to kill the critter. However, the Bible is clear that this commandment concerns one human taking another human's life through some premeditated and intentional act of violence. Did y'all get that? Taking another's life through some premeditated and intentional act of violence. These police officers that are getting killed out there, they're filling gas up, guy comes up and shoots him. Is that murder? Yes. If a soldier is out there fighting for our country and he shoots someone and they die, is that murder? No. It's an act of intentional, premeditated act of violence. Why do you think God prohibits us from murdering each other? Do you think it might be fun? Wipe out the competition? You know? That guy sold me a bum horse. Just kill him. Just get rid of him. He won't sell enough. Oh, that's different. Yeah. That's why we think in our head, you know, that's different. You know, he won't ever do that again, by cracky. He'll never sell a bum horse again. Yes. He intended to do it. It was intentional. Premeditated. He had to think about it. It wasn't an accident. Well, sure, but that doesn't, well, yes, yeah, it would be.
I know, I'm sitting back there, and I got a question to ask.
Okay.
In Matthew 17, 5, 17, and 18, and this is what I don't understand, okay, I just don't understand this. It says, don't misunderstand why I've come. Tell the guy. what he's come to do is to achieve that. Right? So he says, I'm here to achieve it. None of it is gone until it's achieved.
He is here. He came to fulfill. In other words, until he comes back again, until the last person that's going to accept Christ has accepted him and he comes back, that's when it is out, you're out of time. That's when the purpose has been filled. He is still fulfilling it. He's still fulfilling it. He fulfilled it. All he did when he came and he died is he showed that everything that God did, that he could do his life without committing one sin. And he died for our salvation because of our sin. When he fulfilled that purpose, God's purpose was because the penalty for sin is death. Just one. If you just did one sin, committed one sin against God, the penalty is death. So that you would not have to die, God sent His Son to take your place. No, he added that. See, that's where people get the impression that the law is not in effect anymore. There are some things that the Jewish people do as far as circumcision and things that they did that were what they called their law. That has been suspended. Now Jesus said, I'm here, this is new. But he said specifically the commandments of God. He didn't say all the rules and regs that the Pharisees and Sadducees put on you. You know, all the purification rites and all that stuff to make you, to cleanse you from your sin. I am here to wipe all that out. I am the only way that you can get to heaven. I am the only one. There is no other. All that has been washed away with my blood. That's yeah. What they're talking about there is the law is not just the law of Moses. They have more laws about all the things of purifications that you have to go through, all the sacrifices that you have to make for your sins, being circumcised. There's all these rules and regs that they put on the Hebrew guy, the regular Christian, not Christian, but the Hebrew guy. And to do that, Jesus said, but I have come to do away. That is gone. I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You cannot do it with all that stuff anymore. That was before Jesus came. So he came and changed that. Right. No, not the law. The Ten Commandments of God were given, they were God's laws, not Moses'. Now everything else that they added on, there's a lot of laws that God said, this is what I want you to do, but there's only a time that you have to do it. And that's until I send my son. When there's another way. And yeah. I know, I read it today. Go ahead. That's right. The law of what it takes to get to heaven. To be purified. To be sinless before God. That was the only way they had to be right with God, is through the law. Not the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you this. If you think it's okay to ignore God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, if you think by reading into that, that God is saying that you do not, I just got through telling you what Jesus himself said about the Ten Commandments. He fulfilled. He said, I came to add to, not take away. He didn't say that it was okay to murder. He said, it is wrong to murder. He said, but I'm telling you, if you do it in here, if you think it, he made it more stringent, if anything, as far as the commandments. Even if you just think about killing somebody, you've done it. You know, he said, I came to for it to be more than what it was before, to add to it, not to take away. And if you try to, what did he say? If you try to teach people that the Ten Commandments are no longer important and to break them, woo! What do you think that's going to do? The Lord says that you will be of the highest if you say that you do have to follow the Ten Commandments. You would be in one of the highest. The Jewish law. That's correct. We're no longer under the Jewish law. That is correct. Paul kept trying to tell the Christians that they kept saying, by God's law, this is the way the Jewish Pharisees and the Sadducees would talk. They'd say, God's law says you have to be circumcised. Paul says, we're free from that. You do not have to do that anymore. We are free from that. That's the law he's talking about. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the law that they were, all the laws that they had to follow as a Jew. That's what he's talking about. We are free from all that. They are still doing it. They're still making sacrifices. They're still having to purify themselves before God. They're still doing that. God says, Jesus says, look, you don't have to do that anymore. I am the only way. Anybody else? That's correct. Yeah. There is, he says, I am. When he says, y'all, get this, I am the only way. No one gets to the Father except through me. No way, no how, I don't care what you do. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except they go through me. Have to go through me. If you're trying to go in any other way, guess what? You're going to fall short. Because there's only one. You get your GPS and say, wow, man, I know I can. It's things miraculous. I can figure out a way to get there. If I'm good enough. If I give enough money, somehow or another, there's got to be another way. Guess what? There is only one. And he is it. That's when it's talking about the law is gone away with. all the things that they had to do to get to heaven, to be with the Father, to be purified, to be sinless. That was what they were talking about, that law. Not the Ten Commandments, believe me. Not the Ten Commandments. Do you think God changed his mind and goes, that was a long time ago. I didn't really mean it. That was the past, you know. You don't have to go kill somebody. Hey, son, go for it. Go, what? Yeah, he said, I came to add to, not to take away. You got to remember, I'm not taking away from the Ten Commandments. I'm adding to. He added more, not taken away. He just abolished the Jewish law of the rite of purification, the way that you get to heaven. How do you receive salvation? How do you get to be with the Father? That's what was all done away with. No more having a curtain and having to go through here we go. I'm going to be stepping on some toes, I know. But we do not have to go to a priest. We go directly to the Father through Jesus because of his blood. That's what it's supposed to have done away with. That's when we think of that law is gone. Anybody else? Okay. Boy, this is good stuff, man, I tell you. Just get your blood pumping on it. Get you fired up, boy. I mean to tell you. I mean, we get, you know, but that's what is good about what I love about Wednesday nights is because things that are a little muddy up here, it's already says that we're kind of looking through a smoked glass when we try to understand some things, the ways of God. But when we get to sit down and really nitpick it, I'm talking about get to the bone, get rid of all that fat and all the junk, get right to the bone of what it means, what the scripture means. That's when things start clicking up here and in here. Starts making a difference in your life because you look at it the way God sees it. You start looking at each other the way God sees him or her. When you go to pray, you say, Lord, help me to see this person with your eyes. Help me to love them with your love. Give me your patience, Lord, with someone that's, I just don't have any. Maybe with this person. Give me your patience. See what happens. Stuff happens. I mean, it starts changing and you start looking at that person totally different. Totally. It's not you, it's God working through you and changing your heart and the way you see things. We've gone through already six commands. I want you to think back just a minute of the ones we've learned. Just since the time that we started a few weeks ago, has it changed the way that you look at the Ten Commandments? Is it changed your mind or made you think? Is it made you question, am I following these right? Am I doing it letter perfect? Am I really what we need to be saying, am I pleasing God with what I'm doing? That's really what it's about. Is he pleased with you? Is he pleased with what you're even thinking? Before we started this, could you explain to a friend the Ten Commandments up to what we've learned so far? if they had these same questions you were throwing at me, what would you say? I don't know. I have to go ask somebody, you know. I may have to come back on that. This is so important because it's something that's important to our everyday life. How we view them is what sort of a blessing we're going to receive, or a burden. They're either a blessing to you and it gets you in the rhythm with God, or you're out of sync. You know, when you're dancing, and when you're dancing, and you're in sync with your partner, it just kind of flows, doesn't it? It just looks good. It's real smooth. You're not stepping on anything. Nobody's getting hurt. It just kind of flows. But when one is doing one and the other one is, you know, doing some crazy other dance and they're hitting each other and it just looks like chaos, you're out of sync with that person. And you're not keeping the beat, you know, you're going. You're trying to find it. Ten Commandments gets you in sync with God. It's up to you, in the way you look at it, as to whether you're in sync or you're that guy that's... I saw a movie, and I hate to even say it. There was a movie a long time ago called The Jerk. You can't hardly watch it. If it hasn't been cut out, I saw a revised version where they cut out the bad words and all the bad stuff on Fox one time. I wish I'd have recorded it then, but I didn't. No, I don't really. But anyway, I just remember that, him trying to figure that. He just could not get that beat. He was just like so jerky. He couldn't get it. Are you in sync with God? Are you out of sync? Out of step? He's going one direction and you're going the other. Any other comments about murder? Anybody having trouble with that one? If you did, you wouldn't admit it, would you? I just killed somebody last week. Okay, the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Whoa, boy. Here we go. Now he's meddling. The verb to commit adultery can be used of either men or women. When Potiphar's wife attempted to entice Joseph into sleeping with her, Joseph protested in part by saying, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" When either men or women cheat on their spouses, they are indeed sinning against God, who instituted the sacred union of marriage between a man and a woman. Hebrews 13:4 states that the marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. What was the punishment prescribed by God for adultery in Deuteronomy? Y'all remember? We have to look it up. Stoning. Yep. How did Jesus expand on this one thing? If you want to find out, let's look in Matthew 5:27-28. Matthew 5:27-28. This is what Jesus had to say about this. "You've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That's tough, isn't it? Is this something that you can get forgiveness for? Yes. Or any of these sins something that you can get forgiveness for? Yes. You say, well, I've already failed miserably at that. You know, I'm divorced. I'm married to somebody else. Now what do? You ask for forgiveness and you move on. And you just don't do it anymore. What did Jesus tell the woman that had slept with so many different men? Go and sin no more. Don't do it. Don't do it no more. Stop. Just stop. Ask for forgiveness. Stop. Don't do it. Just quit. It goes for any one of these. Stop doing it. Think about it. Put some thought and some effort into it. Don't just keep on keeping on. Once you've something, it's kind of like once light has been brought onto a dirty floor, there's some people that just, I mean, they cannot, it's there. I see it. I got to do something about it. I just can't leave that there. I got to sweep it up. There's trash on the floor. Oh, look, here's a paper clip. Uh-oh. I found it. I had to pick it up. You have to stop. When light comes onto something, you have to stop and do something about it. God takes these Ten Commandments and He shows light when you are a believer onto your life and onto this, and you realize that, hey, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I'm talking to you, buddy. You know you got trouble with this one. Actually, you may have trouble with a couple of them, you know. And this is what you do. You stop doing it. Just stop. Wherever you're at, stop. Ask for God's forgiveness and then don't do it again. Any comments about committing adultery? Does anybody not understand what that means? No kid questions. Did I say that out loud? You could ask John. I'm just kidding. I think you already know. I think you know. Anybody else have a question about? It's an adult question, yes. Yes, but you're old enough to understand what I'm saying. You're not getting a newsflash. Can you what? Yes, you can ask a question. I'm afraid what the answer is going to be, but I guarantee you, I'm tough enough. You give it to me. What's your question? I want to make sure I hear you. Some and getting closer. Well, you stop right where you're at. When you stop right there, and then you ask for forgiveness, and you stay with her. I mean, if you leave her, then you're causing her to commit adultery. Then you're causing her to sin. So you have to stop somewhere. Stop where you are, ask for forgiveness, and then move on. And don't let it rule your life anymore. Don't let the devil use that against you because you've already got forgiveness. Does that answer your question? Well, thanks for asking. That was a good question. Good question. What do you do? There's not really any, you know, you were worried too. Yeah, I sometimes when I think a question's coming, I'm going, oh, Lord, what do I do now? You know, what do I say? You know, He just always supplies. The Holy Spirit just automatically jumps right in there and starts speaking to me. And He got me out of this one. Okay. Any other questions about adultery? We've got 4 minutes. None. Okay. Here we are. The next one, the 8th commandment. You shall not steal. When someone says, don't steal, what does that mean to you? Walk into a grocery store and get a cart full of groceries and don't take something that's not yours, that doesn't belong to you. They're not going to miss that pen. Whoa, did that get anybody? They're not going to miss that hat. They're not going to miss this or that. That handful of screws, that couple of nails, that tool I like that they got more than one of. Justification in your mind. It's, you just start working it in your head. Man, they're rich. They ain't never going to miss this. Does it belong to you? Does it belong to another individual? When someone steals something, they're not only stealing from another individual, they're indeed stealing from God as well. Oh, bummer. Did I just pop your bubble with that one? Anytime you commit these sins, you're committing them against God. So that pencil that you took, take it back. Ask for forgiveness. We learned that everything in the entire world belongs to God. Therefore, anything we possess has been given to us directly from God. When you take something from someone else, listen up, you are stealing the very thing that God has given to them. Whoa. So you just took something that belonged to God. Stealing comes in different forms. Let's look at some of them. And I want you to think about these. Can you steal money? How? Pick it up off the floor. Well, if there's nobody around and you pick it up off the floor, is that stealing? Huh? It's not yours. All that mighty Lord, looky there, you know. All right, what if you saw it fall out of somebody's pocket and hit the floor? Then you try to get it and give it back to them, right? If I find a penny on the ground at the shopping mart, I tell you, I do not go looking around for the owner of that penny. I stick it in my pocket. It's gone. There, it's not. It's gone. All right. Yeah. Yeah. What did you? We'll turn it in. That was the right thing to do. Because they would have went, they just stuck it in their pocket. Okay, how is somewhere else, some way else that you can steal money? Oh, now, wait a minute. Now you sure are meddling. Say that again, Ricky. That you're taking pay for. Oh, man. That stinks there. If you make an agreement with someone that you're going to work for X amount of money and you say you're going to do a job for them and you sit down on the job and don't do that job, but yet you want your money at the end of the day, you didn't do what you said you'd do, but you get your money, are you stealing? You bet you are. That's exactly right. You can do that. You can be stingy with your money and you can refuse to pay them after they've already done, they did you a great job, and you find fault with it, and you go, because you, on purpose, you never really intended to pay them anyway. But you let them do the work, and then you refuse to pay them. Guess what? That's stealing. How somewhere else you can steal money? Oh, Lordy mercy. Not tithing. That's a big one, y'all. Yeah, that's for sure. God says that 10% is mine, and when we don't give 10%, what? Actually, it's not. He doesn't say that 10% is mine and the other 90 is yours. It's all mine. All I want is 10%, and I'm letting you basically hold. I'm holding you responsible for what you do with the other 90. Ooh. It's not yours just to do it any way you want to, because it's not our money. We think it is. We've got the thought here in America that, well, I earned it. The sweat off my brow. I'm the one that done it. I can spend it any way I want to. Why give God? Man, I can't afford to give God 10%. You laugh? I've heard that. I have heard that. I can't afford to give God 10%. Well, I got to pay for my truck. I got this expensive house. I've got this vacation home. My wife's car. She needs tires. Excuse, 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 excuse. I can't afford. You can't afford not to. That's the thing you don't understand. He's going to get his 10% one way or the other. You give him 10% right off the top, and then he makes the other 90 go further than you can ever imagine. If you say, I'm going to keep it all, guess what? He's going to get a whole lot more than 10%. He's not going to bless you financially. It ought to be. She asked, why isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? God said, that's what you do. You tithe. Yeah. He does command us to. He's not asking politely. Hey, I think if you kind of can see your way possibly this week or this month to kind of give me 10%, I should really appreciate it. If you don't, well, that's okay. We can catch up with you next month. He didn't say that. He said, it's all mine. The cattle on all the hills are mine. The ground is mine. The house you live in is mine. Everything you have is mine. I'm just letting you keep it. All I ask is 10%, and I'll multiply the rest. I think I am out of time. We've got more to say about stealing because we hadn't even got to the IRS. That's stealing. That cliffhanger. For next week, we talk about the government and the IRS. Yes. Close enough. I'm not going to go what they're doing. I'm just going to tell you what God says you need to be doing. He takes care of the government. It's not your responsibility to take care of the government. It says, give to Caesar what it belongs to him. That's what he said. If you owe taxes, you better pay them. Everybody pays taxes. If you don't, and you cheat on your taxes, guess what you're doing? You're stealing. Okay. If y'all are ready to get out of here, take your hats off, guys. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another exciting night, Lord, just talking about your word and your commandments. It's just fun to hear everybody's thoughts, everybody's ideas, what we're thinking. Lord, just as long as when we come away from here, we come away with your thought process, that we come away knowing what you expect out of us. Not what we think, but what we know for a fact because you've revealed it to us. It just makes us better servants to you. It makes us better brothers and sisters to each other and to this world, so that the world will not see us, but they'll see Christ living through us. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.